this is Beyond Category, and I'm Eric Felton. We're here at Blues Alley in Washington, D.C., where tonight a terrific singer and piano player, Karen Allison, is going to be playing. But we get to check her out right now.
Turn out the stars. Turn out the stars. Let eternal darkness hide me. If I can't have you beside me, put out their fires. Their endless splendor only reminds me of your tenderness. Stop the ocean's roar. Don't let the rivers run. Let me hear no more the wondrous music of a skylark in the sun. Let it be done. Turn out the stars, turn out the stars, shut off their light. Stop every comet in its magic.
Karen Allison, that was wonderful. Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you, Eric. Great
Thank
to
you.
Be here.
So now that's a very torchy song, a real torch
it
song.
Is.
Tell me about that tune.
That tune I discovered, Turn Out the Stars, is Bill Evans' tune, of course, and it's mostly done instrumentally. And I realized that there were, later on, I realized that there were really beautiful lyrics written by Gene Lees.
Who was a great jazz critic as
absolutely.
Well as being a lyricist.
Yeah, and he wrote a lot of lyrics to tunes. And so I just thought it would fit to put it in three, in a sort of a rolling three waltz type of a thing, to help tell the story rather than the swinging version that Bill Evans usually did. But I love that piece, and that's on Round Midnight, our latest CD.
What's so nice about that record is, though there's a real interesting mix of music, it all gets that kind of late night, bittersweet, lost love kind of vibe going throughout the record. How do you approach when you're doing a record, you know, getting a unified concept in a dozen tunes?
Yeah. You know, it can come in different ways. If you really have a specific thing in mind, you know, you can take the specific thing and then get the tune list going. Otherwise, if you just want to do some tunes and then find the theme within those things and then do process of elimination or addition, it's really a kind of a mysterious process. And I didn't always do thematic CDs, although I have for the last, well, I have 13 with Concord, and I have for the last half. So it's a good way to learn and to study one type of thing, too. So it's a good way to keep the creative juices flowing.
And you say there's a process of elimination. Do you find, as you think, well, maybe there's a tune I'd like to do, and you work on it, and that there's some tunes that they just don't work for you, things that you give a try and you just find it's not happening?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think it depends on maybe 10 years ago there was a song that I loved that I don't really dig doing anymore. Or maybe there was one, there's one now that I didn't dig then. So it's also...
And maybe even tunes that you really loved playing, but you end up getting sick of it.
Absolutely, yeah. We have to mix it up a lot, and we know a lot of... We have a big book, so we do mix it up very, very often.
As a singer, having a large repertoire means having to remember a whole lot of words.
Yes, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I usually don't think about it too much. When I do some of the different languages, the Portuguese and French, then I have to put a little more thought into it. But knock on wood, lyrics have usually been pretty easy for me to memorize. But every once in a while, you know, you have a little bit of a block, and just don't think about it.
Anybody who's watched American Idol or a show like that sees how many of these kids who can sing get bumped out just because they can't memorize lyrics. Wow. It's such a fundamental thing to the singer's art
is to
know the words.
That's true. And, you know, some of the best jazz instrumentalists know the lyrics to tunes. My guys help me out occasionally to remember a lyric here and there, but it helps them to tell the story too. We are a group that tries to tell the story together.
Now you not only, of course, sing but play piano, and I wonder if you find that there's a difference in how you communicate with an audience between when you're singing and when you're playing instrumentally.
When I stand up and sing, it's a different feel from when I'm sitting down and playing. It's a hard thing to describe. It's kind of mysterious, but I think it feels more personal when I'm sitting down. There are tunes that I really prefer to accompany myself on, and there are tunes that I just don't. So it's nice to be able to mix it up, because I like to get over with the band and move around and, you know, feel that kind of energy too, rather than so far away from sometimes with the piano.
Well, let's get the band back up and have you do another tune. What would you like to do next for us?
This is a favorite tune of mine since I was a kid, All I Want, which is a Joni Mitchell tune, one of my favorite artists.
Fantastic.
And that's what this one is.
All right, look forward to it. Let's get the guys up.
One, two, I want two, two, two. I'm
wanna talk to you, wanna shampoo you, I wanna renew you again and again. Applause, applause. Life is a cause, and I think of your kisses. My mind sees saws, but do you see how you're hurting me? So I hurt you, and we both get so
Karen, that was terrific.
Thank you.
It's so nice hearing a Joni Mitchell tune. You mentioned she was someone that you listened to a lot as you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard you talk about how there were a lot of singers who weren't really jazz singers mm-hmm. who you gravitated to and learned a lot about singing from.
That's right. Singer-songwriters of the late 60s and 70s, that stuff was on the radio when I was a kid. A little later, I would start to get the sheet music of the tunes I loved and just try to play it and sing it, and that's kind of how it all evolved. I didn't really discover jazz till later in college. I was a classical piano major, but I always loved to sing, and a little bit of encouragement goes a long way. So if people say, oh, that sounds good, then if you're a ham, you know, you're going to take that and run.
So a classical piano major in college, mm-hmm. listening to sort of pop singer-songwriters, mm-hmm. and yet somehow those two things came together to produce a singer who plays piano in a jazz idiom. How did you make that transition?
I'm still making it, I think. I think friends in college turned me on to jazz in the music department, and I just discovered it, and I thought, wow, this is for me because of the improvisation.
And when you discovered it, mm-hmm. did you discover it through playing and being part of what was happening at the college, or somebody played a record for you that turned the light on?
Both, actually, because actually they needed a big band singer, and so I could sing a little bit, and they said, would you sing Lover Man or something like that with the big band, and that was probably my first foray into performing jazz. But then I got so bitten by the bug that I formed my own little combo, as we called it then, and played jazz tunes.
People who know a little bit of your story know that you were discovered when you were in Kansas City, but of course in college and before, you weren't originally from Kansas City.
Right. I was from Omaha, and from Omaha, but I spent some time in the Bay Area, I spent some time in Minneapolis, and then to Kansas City, and that's where I began recording. I started my own first record and borrowed the money to do it, and got some of my beautiful friends who are, one of my drummers here with me today, and he was on the very first CD I ever did. But Concord ended up buying that one from me, and then we just moved on from there. That was our very first CD called I Didn't Know About You.
You know, people think these days about New York being the capital of the world of jazz, and though that may be the case, there are all these different regions and towns where there have been thriving jazz scenes and where there are not only tremendous, wonderful players, but a tradition that has its own flavor, its own sensibility. And Kansas City, of course, is one of the great centers of jazz, which gave us Lester Young and the Count Basie Band and all sorts of tremendous players. When you got to Kansas City, was there really a palpable jazz scene there still
yes.
that you were able to draw on?
Yeah, I mean, every community ebbs and flows. I mean, I suppose even New York ebbs and flows. I've been there for 13 years, and you see places come and go, but smaller towns like Kansas City, sometimes they have a real thriving jazz scene, and sometimes it goes a little under. But at the time I was there, we were really kicking it. I mean, I was doing sometimes three gigs a day and through the evening. So I found this group of players I just really became attached to, and I learned so much from. And it's true, there's so many. New York is great, but jazz is such a universal language that it's really thriving everywhere, I think.
Well, I would love to play something with you. This
That'd be great.
The band sounds so wonderful, and you sound so wonderful. What could we do together?
We have a tune on Around Midnight that I think that you would sound beautiful on, The Shadow of Your Smile, Johnny Mandel.
Great, Johnny Mandel.
Play that with
song.
Us if you would.
Let's do it. Okay. Karen Allison.
The shadow of your smile when you are gone. Color all my dreams and light the dawn. Look into my eyes. Wistful little star was far too high. A teardrop kissed your lips, and so did I.
Wow, Karen, that was so much fun.
You sounded beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Talk a little bit about what it takes to be a jazz musician these days.
Well, I mean, there are different facets. You can talk about the business, or you can talk about the artistry. And the players I'm working with, for example, today, Todd Strait, my drummer of many years, Ed Howard, beautiful bass player I've known for many years, and Steve Cardenas, also from Kansas City, actually, beautiful guitarist. These guys can, they're so versatile. It's very important for me to find jazz players who are versatile and not just do bebop, not just do blues, not just do standards, because we do it all, we're sort of all over the map and want to do these tunes as authentically as possible, the Brazilian stuff, the French things. You know, it takes practice, obviously, to hone your craft, and it's living the life a little bit. I think there's school, you can go to school for this stuff, and obviously you can learn rudiments, and you should. But as far as getting the feeling, it really takes living a little bit of this life. And
life isn't always easy. You're traveling all the time. Saxophonist Phil Woods once talked about how instead of going to music school, if young players really wanted to learn what it was all about, they should just ride a bunch of buses all night long.
That's right. Get on the road. It's, yeah, because you have to find inspiration even when you don't, when you're tired. Paramount for me is the music, communicating with my players, and communicating with the audience. And if you, I feel like if you have those fundamentals down, you really can't go wrong.
When you're looking at a new tune, do you work it through in a lot of different ways to see what kind of finally works? Or do you hear a tune and say, ah, I know if I put like maybe a little reggae beat behind that, yeah, or something, you know, that's going to work?
Well, I use the piano, of course, to figure stuff out. And in very involved in the arrangements with my band and myself, and around midnight, in fact, I did most of the arrangements myself. But for example, All I Want, that's a Gil Goldstein arrangement. I did not come up with that. When you're doing a real familiar pop tune like that, you really, I feel as a jazzer, need to stray quite a bit away from the original thing to make your own statement on it. So you can mix, you can mess with grooves, you can mess with keys, you can mess with meters, time signatures, all kinds of stuff, different combinations of instruments, and yeah, all kinds of ways to do that.
Well, Karin Allison, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having
me. And the band sounds fantastic. You sound wonderful, and I'd love to hear one more thing, maybe get you out from the piano and
okay,
and let
good.
You sing a little bit.
Cool.
So what are you going to do for us?
Let's do, we have a CD out there called Footprints, and these are instrumental classics that mostly my dear friend Chris Caswell put lyrics to, and this is one of them. This is a Nat Adderley tune called Never Say Yes, and Chris wrote these beautiful lyrics, and he calls it All You Need to Say.
Karin Allison.
When some girl asks for your number, never say yes. If by chance a bold advance you have to address, you can say you're not interested, and you won't be persuaded even if your will is tested. And if she should tempt you with a tender caress, tell her you're an introvert, but never say yes. 'Cause believe me, I'll never leave you lonely, but yes is all you need to say. And if you're asked to give up dreaming, never say yes. And just how far to chase a star is anyone's guess. If you hold telling just how high a dream will take you, search to find true happiness and never take less. If the world should want your soul, don't ever say yes. 'Cause my love, it's real. And asked if that's how you feel, yes is all you need to say. Thank you.
dreams will come true. And there's no way of telling just how high a dream will take you. Search to find true happiness and never take less. If the world should want your soul, don't ever say yes. 'Cause my love is real, and asked if that's how you feel. Yes, it's all you need to say. Yes, it's all you need to say.
Wow, what terrific music. That was Steve Cardenas on guitar, Ed Howard on the bass, and Todd Strait on the drums. And of course, singing and playing piano, Miss Karen Allison. I'd like to thank Blues Alley Jazz Supper Club for hosting us today, and I want to thank you for joining us. My name's Eric Felton, and I hope you'll join us again soon for more good music on Beyond Category.